Oh, wow. It's that time already. It's Conscious Living Empower Radio. Hi there, I'm Wendy. And this is so fun because the schedule of the show has changed and given me an opportunity to do a Saturday show. And Christy Clemens Hoffman, who's my guest, I've talked with her before, actually had a session with her. She does the quantum healing hypnosis technique. And that's the Dolores Cannon method. You might have heard about it. If you haven't, it's a fascinating process. And we're going to get into that. But first, I wanted to check in because this was the big Alien Fest, Alien Stock, Area 51 convergence. And why were none of us there? Matt's my producer. He's punching buttons back in the studio. Matt, okay, what's your excuse? Why didn't you go?
I live in Michigan.
Well, people, they were from France and Canada and North Dakota.
I wanted to see what happened too, but I just, you know.
Okay. Christy?
Hard pass.
Okay, Christy.
What's my excuse? My excuse is I needed to get my documentation in order for my next level of QHHT training.
that was way better than mine. Yeah.
Homework. Okay.
And I had homework.
You had a conflict with the event. Okay. That also sounds good. A pre-existing. Right. Yes. Appointment.
Something I couldn't get out of, unfortunately.
Right. Yeah, okay. Me too. I'm lazy. Okay. It was just a big, long trip to the desert. And I think I could have timed it better. But I think it's fascinating. And I do think a lot of people, this has been a really fun thing to watch and see it unfold, the soap opera, the behind the scenes. Is it going to be in Rachel? No, it's not going to be in Rachel. Is it going to be in Hiko? It's like, wow, it became a whole lot of something out of nothing. And it reminds us that there are a lot more, I think, unique opportunities for us to connect on levels that have nothing to do with, the hardcore issues of saving the planet and not killing each other in various wars and conflicts. If people are looking for something that says, what else is out there? They're curious. And fortunately, at this time, we haven't heard about any negative results from this. A few people, one lady assumed from what the sheriff said that she desperately wanted to be arrested to prove that she had been there and tried and put up a valiant effort to go beyond the barrier to Area 51. There you go. Everybody had their own unique agenda. So I thought we would check in with that. And thank you, Matt, for being honest.
Well, hey, I heard there was one arrest. It was for a guy that was using the bathroom in public.
No. Typical. That's like your normal.
I was trying
concert.
To keep that statement classy as well.
thank you.
Right.
Yes. They were worried there was one guy who had disappeared. They thought he had made his way to another entrance area for the site, and they said he turned up the next morning, so they didn't think it was an abduction. It had been ruled out.
Oh, rat.
We can speculate.
I like the costumes. I also like the beer, the fridge they had in Las Vegas that was only going to be opened with the alien handprint. And I wondered how quick it was going to take somebody to break the code on that or to abscond with the fridge. So I'm guessing they'll put it up for auction afterwards just to, you know, anyway.
And gets abducted.
The beer, go ahead. What?
The beer fridge gets abducted.
Oh, that would be, yeah. That would be perfect.
That would be great.
But all the cans and everything, you know, because those are going to be collectible and they're only available like on the West Coast. I'm like, wait a second. What? Hello? So anyway, we're getting into a whole different topic of potential in some way, shape or form contact because of quantum hypnosis healing, quantum healing hypnosis, not transpose those. And that's the Dolores Cannon method. And through her method, actually, there were she was discovering that there might be some in a different capacity, higher power, not the God higher power, but an alien higher power and calling the shots behind the scenes. So I just kind of opened that can of worms directly. Christy.
Hi, Wendy.
How far do you want to go with that? Okay.
Well, I should add that just this week it came out that the Navy has confirmed that, yes, UFOs do exist.
That was nice.
That's huge.
That was nice of them.
Yeah. I should send them a card.
Well, you also note that they said that was an accidental release when the little video came out and they released it in 2017. I think they took it during 2014. They said that should not have been made public, but well, there you go. So the public,
no coincidences.
Yeah. Well, and I think that also has brought a lot of this to the topic, the mainstream, because it's okay to talk about it. You don't have to worry about, there's still going to be a wink, wink, nod, nod, but there's a lot more, I think, levity that says, okay, what is this? And if it is something that we, is it tangible? I don't think they're all tangible. And the people I've talked to who are experiencers, they have a lot different take on it. Once you've had that encounter, it doesn't go away. And somebody who says to you that this is a fiction no longer holds any weight. It's like, well, that's fine. You haven't seen what I've seen, been through what I've been through. And what it is a big question. And that's nice. Instead of saying it doesn't exist, it's like, what do we need to do to research? Where do we go from here? And Christy, that's part of what you, what drew you to I mean, you're an intuitive and you have a lot of other talents. We'll get into some of that, but what drew you to the Dolores Cannon method?
Oh my gosh. I've been fascinated with her for years and years. And it was funny, many years ago, I had stumbled on, I've gone through kind of a rough patch in my life and just found out about the work she was doing with past lives and the stuff that we can carry forward and how we can really learn from that and learn what our karmic balance is with somebody. And I thought, you know, this is something I need to do. I called up her office. I thought, okay, she was doing her work in Arkansas. She was based in Arkansas at the time. And, you know, it's just a few hours from Kansas City. And I thought, okay, well, I'll make a weekend of it, find somebody to watch my daughter and I can do this. And I called up her office and I said, yeah, I'd like to schedule a session with Dolores Cannon. They said, oh yeah, she's booked up for 4 years, but maybe we can get you on a waiting list. I said, well, I'm hoping to get in there before then. But they did say that she had started, thank goodness, she had started training people to do this method. And they said, here's the website, go in and put your zip code. Maybe you can find somebody to do this. And so actually my husband at the time and I both made appointments for this, and it was, we just found it was a fascinating type of work. And many years later, I found myself in another kind of crux. I had been laid off from Hallmark and just looking for my next steps. And I said, you know, I've always been fascinated with this work. I've always believed in it. It's very, very powerful. And I just took this plunge and decided to pursue being a practitioner. I've never looked back. It's been 3 years now, and I've done 130 sessions, and it is impactful. I mean, talk about just the alien connection with it. Dolores, yeah. So Dolores, she first started this work doing past lives and how we can learn and heal from past lives. And then one day someone asked her, you know, I've got somebody here who they've had an abduction experience. Can you help recover that? She said, well, let's see what happens, and found out that her technique was very effective and powerful to do that. So then she kind of refined her focus a little bit more, and she started working with just aliens and what else is possible, what information we have that comes from other planets, technologies perhaps, what people's experiences are. And then she was writing books also at the time. And she first, of course, started writing with about past lives. And then she did a whole series on extraterrestrial knowledge. And I realized how crazy it sounds to many people, but her books, you will see that it's quite profound. So she wrote books. There was The Custodians, which is kind of a primer into all of this, this topic. And then she went on Keepers of the Garden, Convoluted Universe. She just wrote many, many, Stargate Crash, something like that. So she wrote many books about kind of our experience with extraterrestrials. And then she went on to write about her sessions where she was able to connect with Nostradamus and lifetimes with people where they had been with Jesus. And she wrote a series on that as well. So she wrote so many books. And if anybody's interested in reading those, you can just find them easily online. And then I know that in my own sessions, I've had a lot of people who have had kind of high strangeness in their lives. Maybe they've seen a UFO. I had one lady had an alien just appear in her kitchen, seemed to be kind of a glitch in the matrix type of thing. I've had other people who have had missing time and they wanted to find out what happened. And so I've seen with a lot of clients that we will actually go to these experiences. We'll go to other planets. We'll go to even other lifetimes that these people have lived on other planets. I've been taken on board ships through this work, you know, where it's like, tell me what you're seeing. Let's go on the ship. Tell me, look around and tell me how it feels, what anything that you perceive. And it's really, really very interesting. I've, you know, been able to speak with extraterrestrials when people are encountering them. I ask them questions directly and just learned so much. There's so much that we just don't know, Wendy. And there's so much that we've not even scratched the surface of.
Well, I
you
like
know,
this.
Dolores,
Oh, I was gonna say, I like this because it keeps, it's a wide open playing field.
Oh, it's a wide open playing field. I mean, anything that you can imagine and even things you cannot imagine are within the realm of possibility. I mean, if you read her books, you find out these spiritual laws and laws of physics that just shouldn't make sense, but they do. And they really do truly apply. And I tell you what, you can't go back to looking at your regular existence the same way.
Well,
it's mind blowing.
When you were the first session you had, past life, did it indicate that this was on your path? This kind of work?
Yeah, it did. I have to say my very first session that I had a really hard time with it, but I had another session later where I went to this lifetime and everything in that life made sense. I found myself running down the streets of medieval, looked like maybe Spain, running for my life, being chased by inquisitors because I was Jewish. And I was knocked out by, they were throwing things at my head and I was knocked out and knocked down. And, you know, in this lifetime, I've had intense pain in the back of my head. That has, since I've gotten a view of what that is and an understanding of what that is, I can work with it and I can deal with it. I found out in this lifetime, in this current lifetime, that I may be Jewish because of my family history, and which I had never known before. And then all of a sudden that made sense. But just themes of betrayal, themes of people who were not honest and true, themes of love and loss. It was just amazing what I encountered just by that one lifetime. And it puts so many pieces into place. And that's really what this work is about. And so people will come out of this experience and they just say, oh my gosh, that was my father in that lifetime who was my brother, or this was my partner in that lifetime. We were siblings. And it just, now I understand. And that's the whole point of it. Once you have that awareness and that consciousness of where your issues may be stemming from, well, then you can do something about it. So especially with the emotional type of healing and the karmic type of healing and forgiveness work, that's where it really comes into play. But we have to do something with that information, especially when it comes to, you know, putting the pieces of our life in place and understanding our path. The session itself does not cure that, does not set you on the right path. You have to do the work afterward. But in terms of healing, I've seen some miraculous healings from this. When we realize, oh, this is the origin of my pain or disease. Now I understand it. Now I don't need it. I can let it go. And I have seen some really miraculous and remarkable things to come out of that, just by knowing where our issues stem from. You know, I had a client who had ulcerative colitis and irritable bowel, all kinds of different things. I really feel she was misdiagnosed. Because in her session, her higher self, who is really calling the shots for us in our life, her higher self looked through her body and described like all these black bubbles and dots that were in her stomach. And it's kind of a strange way to describe something like this. But really, we're talking about energy. Energy comes from emotions. Energy comes from thoughts and our experiences, right? And so our experiences, our emotions, our thoughts in the body can turn into energy that can lead to disease or discomfort or, you know, any type of physical issue that we have. And so her higher self talked about how these like black bubbles and dots in her stomach were causing many of her problems. And I learned that that stemmed from an experience that she had at 7 years old. So she had gone to a friend's house to play at 7 years old. This friend's family had a dog and it was tied up on the deck. It was a nice day and she came around the back of the house and she saw the dog had jumped off the deck and hung itself. She was the one who discovered this. Yeah. Can you even imagine? And the parents of this family where she went to play said, you can't tell anybody about this. You don't tell a soul. And she carried that with her, Wendy, for decades, that the secret, this heavy secret, imagine 7 years old and not being able to tell anybody about this horrific thing you saw.
Yeah, huge
and
trauma.
Having to be upset, huge trauma. And that resulted in, this physical issue she had. I followed up with her afterward and I said, well, how are you feeling? How are you doing? She said, oh, I'm completely off of all my medicine.
So yay.
She was feeling great. She didn't need it anymore. Yay. But that's just one example.
But stuffing, stuffing that. Mm-hmm. Stuffing that.
Oh, and stuffing it down. We get into so much trouble with that when we don't deal with our emotions, when we just like, I'm just going to ignore it. And that'll work, right?
Yes.
No, it doesn't work.
Yes. And it's like, okay, there you go. That's the first little black dot.
Right. Exactly. But the thing is, we don't want to go out and just like, okay, I need to release my emotions. I'm going to find somebody and cry on their shoulder, or I'm going to find somebody and punch their lights out. That's not it either. That's
part
not
of that,
what it means to release your emotion.
No, and part of that, though, you still have the emotion, and all that is, instead of addressing the issue, you're making it even more problematic by creating karma, doing something that's completely unrelated and involving somebody else in your own distress. Part of this, I think, let's go back to when you're working with people, and I like the way that you said the first time didn't quite get it and the second time did. Mm-hmm. That's if you haven't done anything like this before, then that first time is kind of, I think, a get to know you. Is this, where am I at? And a reconfiguration to get you centered so you can take it to the next level. And like when I had my session with you, I've been doing this for 30 years. So there were things that I'd already been through in terms of uncovering past life issues. When I went in, I went beyond that to a spirit guide who gave me different images and pictures and also questions so that I could continue doing my work from a different level and understand where some of the learning and insight was coming from, and to continue with that. So mine was a little different because I've been doing this for a while. And I, so people who come to you the first time, you give them an opportunity to just get things out to see where you're going to go from, what to start, whether it's a past life or current issue, like you said, that withheld pain, all of this stuff is helpful. And it starts with that form of therapy. You also do a different version, though. I wanted to get with that too, because there's another element.
Right. Yeah, there's another form of hypnosis that I do. It's called introspective hypnosis, as taught by Antonio Sanjo. And it is different. There are a lot of similarities. Antonio did a stage of training with Dolores, and he went on to develop this other form of hypnosis with someone else who had started pioneering, and then Antonio just kind of refined it. But I pursued that because you can do it online. QHHT, you have to be in person with the practitioner, and I totally get why, and it works remarkably well. But I wanted to be able to work with people around the world, which I have, with introspective hypnosis. It's a little bit different in that we don't necessarily start with a past life with that. We go to a memory. So with that, we go to any type of memory. But what's surprising is that it doesn't even have to be of this lifetime. So sometimes people will slip into a past life, just something they needed to deal with. But the memory comes up for healing. So many times we'll go to a painful memory. And if a client has a hard time finding that, then I'll say, okay, great, any memory. Let's just go to any memory. And then we work with, okay, where are you? What's going on? Who's around you? I had a client had a difficult relationship with her father. She went to like her third or fourth birthday party, and her dad just hung out in the kitchen the entire time when everybody else was coming in. He didn't greet anybody. He was just in the kitchen. And that caused her a lot more pain than she was willing to admit in this lifetime. And she realized, oh, that's where I started feeling distant from my father. And then also in that form of hypnosis, we can dial into the consciousness of whoever we feel has wronged us. We can dial into the consciousness of anyone in our sphere, our circle.
Yeah.
So in that case, I dialed in to talk with her father. Now, since you know how the subconscious works, you know how consciousness works, we are all connected. We are all one. My part of the subconscious is tied into the greater consciousness, and so is yours, and so is everybody's. Right. So we've all got this little slice of the greater consciousness. So in introspective hypnosis, we dial into that portion of the father's consciousness. Sometimes we have to go back a generation. So I may be talking with the father and finding out, well, why were you in the kitchen? Well, it's like I was really, he was very introverted and just didn't feel good being around other people, which I totally get.
Right.
So then
shy.
We had to go, right, shy, exactly. Very energy sensitive and shy before we even had a term for energy sensitive, right? And so I may have to go back to, well, let me speak with your father. Let me speak with your, you know, your grandfather. So with this work, I've gone back many generations to talk with the originator of this family pattern. But also what's nice about introspective hypnosis, very different. Dolores Cannon had never encountered attachments, that is energies or actual spirits that can attach to people. And for a long time, I even did not buy into that. It's like, no, that can't happen, until I started seeing it.
Yeah.
So with introspective hypnosis, it's very effective. Dolores did not even address attachments, and that's fine because there's so much else we can do. But for some people, like people who've had heavy drug or alcohol use, people who've had many surgeries, people who've had serious accidents, times when their consciousness was not exactly in their body. So that's when it becomes easier for another energy or entity to attach to us. Feelings and periods of deep depression, grief, despair, when we're not, when our consciousness is a little scrambled, if you will, those are times when we could just have a wandering entity or a wandering thought form to take hold. I had a client who she was trying to get clean, but she wasn't going through a formal program. So, and she was selling drugs and, had come from a period of heavy drug use. And so we cleared two energies that she had that attached to her when she was using. And she was able to identify exactly the time when she was using, when that entity attached. And when it was one, his name was Michael, and was attached in her lower abdomen. And I think she was behind a grotto getting high in Kansas City, and this entity came along. So I talked to Michael, and of course, with this introspective hypnosis, you can dial into the consciousness of that entity or that energy. So I asked to speak with Michael, and he was very helpful. He said that he just felt lost and afraid. He missed his mother. So I talked to his mother, and she said, I never meant to leave you. I was murdered, and I couldn't come back. I couldn't get you, but I have always loved you. So, I'm getting big goosebumps. So I sent both Michael and his mother to the light. Now, there were others that we needed to clear as well, and I'm sure we've not finished. But you can see how powerful this is. So these energies and entities can cause problems for us sometimes in terms of physical issues, mental issues, fogginess. Sometimes people's personalities might change a little. Sometimes people describe that, my thoughts are not my own. And, in those cases, and I would look at, there could be something that's just hitchhiking.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Right. No shame in it.
We're going to take a break. But I do want to, I also work as an intuitive. And what's so funny about this is the time that this is happening. I have just been with somebody who called about a ghost. And so the attachment element is really important. We'll get into that next. We have to take a break here. Are also an animal communicator, and you do work with that. Yes. I wanted to, in this next segment, bring that into this and the Reiki work, because there's so much that this connects to. This isn't just one path.
Together.
Yeah. So, okay. So my guest, Christy Clemens Hoffman, and your, the radiatewellness.com. That's the community.
No,
also.
Radiate Wellness Community. Radiatewellness.com. That's all right.
I got it right. I got it here and I still said it wrong. Community.com/blog. That is where you can connect with Christy, and you can also, find out more if we don't cover things that you're interested in today. Ask questions there. Is there, with your schedule, are you booked solid, or are you take people by Skype, by 30 seconds?
Yeah, I do. I take, people can go on my website, radiantwellnesscommunity.com/appointment, and make an appointment with me. So I do work online and in person. If I'm in person, it's going to be QHHT. But if I'm, or Reiki or meditation healing or intuitive stuff, but online I can do just about everything except QHHT.
Okay. Okay. And when we come back, I want to tell about the ghost call, because that's usually how this starts is there's a ghost, there's a problem. We need to get rid of the ghost, or you know, what can you tell us about the ghost? And sometimes that's just the way to get somebody to make a phone call. And it's more than just the ghost. So back in a few, it's Conscious Living and Power Radio.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm gonna keep ticking, but no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times, when we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while? Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave. But unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Kelly Clarkson, and I've toured the country dozens of times, and there's one thing every state has in common. Childhood hunger. The sad truth is that 17 million kids don't know where their next meal is coming from, or if it's even coming at all. Yet there are billions of pounds of surplus food around the country at farms and warehouses that could help end this injustice. But all that food is useless if it doesn't get where it needs to go. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and gets it to hungry kids before it goes to waste. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank. Find out how at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together we're Feeding America.
To help solve hunger in your community and to find your local food bank, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Well, he moved early. That's going to draw the yellow flag.
Offsides, number 72, 5 yards.
Check out this fan leaving the game. He's headed straight up the middle and right into a sobriety checkpoint. Let's see how he handles it.
No, officer, I haven't been drinking. I'm the designated driver.
Upon further review, this fan made the right call by being a designated driver.
Sign up to be the designated driver at the stadium and always buckle up. You could follow your favorite NFL team to the Super Bowl, provided as a public service by the station and Team Coalition.
Conscious Living and Power Radio. My guest is Christy Clemens Hoffman. She is a practitioner of quantum healing, hypnosis technique, and other methods, including the animal communication. She's a medium, intuitive. A whole list of talents goes on and on and on. That's good. That's why she's here.
Thanks, Wendy.
Well, you know, hey, we throw it all out there. And the thing I wanted to get into, though, was the ghost and the attachment connection. Now, I didn't really connect to the attachment thing. And at one time in my life, when I really needed to have more information as it was happening, but it was learning boots on the ground. This is happening. And afterwards it's like, oh my gosh, they can come into you and they can attach and they can influence you. This one happened to be a suicide and I was living in the place where it had happened and he was trying to get out and thought I might be a vehicle for that, just getting my attention. So that was one where it was personal and took me a while to reconcile that and understand how to help, because at that point I just knew it didn't make any sense. And all of a sudden these things were happening. One included waking up in the middle of the night choking because this entity was trying to use my vocal cords. And so I thought, and that's in retrospect, I thought as it was happening, I had forgotten how to breathe because it was a logic thing. I must be doing something. My body must be malfunctioning. So I put pillows up, prop myself up. Well, then it did different things to get my attention. In the meantime, though, the energy was finally cleared. I realized, oh, okay, you're not seeing the light. And somebody else said that the house had been the site of a suicide. Oh, things started to make sense. So that was my learning curve of experience saying yes. And that was 1997 or 95, somewhere in there where, attachments are real. So when I'm called to this ghost thing, I have that in my arsenal knowing this isn't fiction. And when I get to the place and understand there's a wonderful a game room. In this game room of this house, and it's a small place, two bedrooms, and the game room happens to be the site of someone died. So they thought, okay, it's a ghost, and that's what's happening. The electrical things were, you know, lights on when they were turned off and things like that. So when I get there, I realize, no, this isn't about this being a problem. It's about getting attention. There's an electrical issue there, and there's a potential for a fire because some of the, like one of the lamps is shorting out. And the attachment had to do with a grandfather and the spirit guides saying help, SOS. So it wasn't about something frightening. It was about something to warn that the place where they were living had an issue that needed to be addressed so that there wouldn't be a problem. And that part, I think a lot of times, because we're so fixated on whether, oh, it's a ghost, it's haunted, it has to be sent away. These were not meant to be full-time life attachments. They were there for a short-term period to say, and in his energy, trying to get somebody to react, to respond. So the people who were caretakers, one of them said, we think we've got a ghost. What do we do? It can't, you know, and there's a dead person that could have been attached to. And that wasn't what it was about at all. But you know, not knowing how to, I guess, identify it or put it in definitive terms, you just go from point A to point B and ask lots of questions. And that was what I did. I go in, okay, I'm not here to fix anything. I'm here to ascertain or discern what is out of sync. What is the out of balance? Where is something that I can draw my attention to that I might see that needs adjustment? And that's it. But it was just another experience saying that there's so much more going on here that we don't see. And that's what when you're talking about attachments, I want people to understand that we give them labels that sometimes don't apply or they're misinterpreted, because that's the only language we have for right now. You have to see a lot of that in your practice, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, there was a point in time when past lives were kind of seen the same way, something that nobody really believed in, is kind of exotic. Maybe you'd hear something about it every once in a while, but then you come to find out that, no, this is actually a lot more, it's actually universal, but it's a lot more common than you think. And and also with the attachments, not everybody has something that's hitching a ride with them. But if you think about how consciousness helps us understand these things and how we've not been conscious for so long, we just need to open our eyes. Now, there are places, churches are a very good example where, and schools are another good example where the people in those places have very strong emotions. Sometimes in churches, it'll be extreme grief and sorrow. It can be confusion. It can be loss, but it can also be joy with christenings and weddings. And so there's just a lot of emotion there. And you can go into a church and you feel a certain sense of, you know, like there's like a weight or a heaviness, but this can be just emotions that are left behind. We call those elementals. And these things after time can take on a life of their own. And I don't know if you've ever gone into a room where maybe there was a meeting in it that had gotten very heated or people had been arguing, and you go into this room and you're like, wow, this feels really dense in here. Well, these are just the energies that are coming out of people that aren't cleared. And yeah. So how many places yeah. do you go that are just that feel just kind of heavy and oppressive? But that is how energy can take a life of its own. It doesn't have to be a consciousness, but sometimes just energy will take on a consciousness of its own, and emotion will too.
And thought
so,
forms.
Yeah. And I
thought
don't want to focus, pardon? And thought
and
forms.
Thought
absolutely.
Forms.
Yeah. Thought forms. Absolutely.
That part, I, you know, for that, even I at one point had a comic book collection, and the comic book collection came from someone who was extremely active in their imagination. So there was a lot of energy and thought forms attached to that collection. So I started experiencing paranormal thoughts that weren't my own and paranormal anomalies. And the thing that I realized was, okay, these comic books need to be moved on, separated mm-hmm. as a group, they retain the energy of the former owner who was a little bit troubled. And when I see also when people have shrines, like all of these toys and things, I cleared a house with basically Freddy Krueger, monsters of mayhem in the corner. And they wondered why that house was having a lot of trauma. There was an Indian, a Native American guardian in that area, in the mm-hmm. space outside, who had been calling attention to the thing of walk your talk. And these things are real. And you're playing with something you don't understand. In order to get them to shift that the shrines had to go. Did they want to part with them? I wasn't there for that. I don't know. I just went in and saw that it was creating a tremendous upheaval, and they didn't understand that they were contributing to it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It does. I was working with a client, an adolescent girl who's having a lot of problems, as adolescents will sometimes, but this was more than the garden variety. And I went to her house to clear her house, and when in her room, she had this collection of figurines, kind of like the Monster High, but kind of like the monsters, all of these monsters and demon figurines. And they were kind of goth, and they were, right. I mean, they were attractive, but I said, okay, you're having issues already. You are open as hell, and you are this light that everybody wants going by. And so you really need to shift your focus to something that's going to be more positive. If you want to have statues and memorabilia, bring in statues of Isis, of Mother Mary, of Kuan Yin, bring all of these things in instead. And she was really super resistant because she's like, I'm goth. That's kind of who I am. I have this goth aesthetic that I really like. And I like this stuff. The aesthetic is beautiful. But she saw the changes that were coming from working with me with Reiki and with clearing and coaching and these type of things. And so she did clear them out. And she said, oh my gosh, you can't believe the difference that has made in my room. And also something just as simple as she had so many pictures and things in her room that they were just kind of haphazard. I said, right. Put them in a line them up, you clear up the energy. So now she's a believer in that type of thing. But yeah, those things carry weight. You know, well, we watch these CSI shows.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
We watch these detective shows. And we, right? And so we see that we leave behind something of us everywhere we go. So if I'm sitting in this office right now, so I'm probably leaving hair and skin cells and fingernail bits and who knows what all, traces that I'm not intending to, but we leave it all behind. And so why not our energy?
The energy is first. Energy's first.
And so that we leave that behind all the time. And there's some clearing techniques I do with people, like in a healing session where we just give back. Like if we've got a traumatic person in our life who's caused us a lot of trauma, we will like look through ourselves, and it's kind of a soul retrieval type of thing. So we look through our older self, our previous self, we look through and we gather up all of that perpetrator's energy. We gather it all up, however it looks, give it back, and then we reclaim all the energy that we left with that person, the emotions and everything we left with that person, and reclaim it and put it back into our bodies. It is very powerful.
Well, and part of this too is that as you clear your energy, and if you ever have lived in a space, you were talking about feeling something dense, haunted houses are dense. And so there are people who can't afford to leave the house. But what you can do is either, and you're not always going to clear it, no matter what anybody says and how it works, because it's attached to certain environmental issues and personality issues. And sometimes you can just get it to be quiet and not interfere and practice. This is your space. This is my space. And own that, that divine right to be messed with.
Claiming space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have your space and you allow it to have its respect and honoring. Mm-hmm. And this entity is here for a certain reason. And so if you can't clear it, then you vacate. One little girl you're talking about, the goth thing, she was living in the upper part of the house. The other family members had been through a lot of trauma in that upper part of the house. They couldn't leave the house. When she moved up there, she experienced the same trauma. When she moved back downstairs, like the others who had been up there and who refused to go back into the house, she moved downstairs. Everything was okay. But that particular space was not a living space. It was basically a storage space, and that's how it could be used, and they wouldn't have to leave the house. So that's one of those things where sometimes there isn't a better solution because you don't have the finances, you don't have the ability to vacate. So you have to come to terms and make peace with, what are my thoughts doing to add to this? How am I being influenced? Am I thinking in ways that don't define me? And then once you say, that's not me, that isn't who I am, that's a foreign element, then you can discern, okay, well, how do I want to be? And that's what I think you did with the young lady who had the goth fixation, was that was
for her. Oh, we worked a lot on her thoughts. We worked a lot on her presence and the energy she was putting out. The best protection we can have, Wendy, is maintaining a high vibration. Because nothing else, when we are so elevated in our frequency and our vibration, it is very difficult for anybody else's energy to influence us. That's why it's so easy to, or it's easier to pick up attachments when we're using drugs, when we are in despair, when we're a very angry person, when we're unconscious, because our frequency is so low.
Basically, disassociation. Yeah, disassociation, detachment. When you're not happy with who you are and you're wanting to be anywhere else but here, then there's an indication that you're vulnerable.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So you don't want to be vulnerable, and maintaining a high frequency is just the best protection that you can have. And we can do this in our home very naturally and easily. I mean, I do go in and I clear people's houses, but you don't have to have a professional come in and do that. Just maintaining a high vibration by inviting support, like in terms of high-level guides, angelic support. You can ask Archangel Michael to come in and protect the home, just visualizing it with white light, setting the intention. Our intentions are so powerful because our thoughts are our thoughts are things.
I would say one thing, take the TV out of the bedroom.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
well, part of it is your thoughts. As you're watching CSI, as you're watching some, fright show, those thoughts are there in your bedroom as you're entertaining yourself. And that's a part of the thing when you watch right before you go to sleep or right before you check out to go to a higher or alternate plane. Those thoughts are all right there on the surface. And so, this is stuff that we don't talk about mainstream, but it's very important to address.
I feel like this is my mission, is to bring consciousness to this. Like you said, we're so unconscious to it. We don't give it any second thought because it seems so normal to us. Oh yeah, have a bedroom in, have a TV in your bedroom. CSI is on at 9 o'clock. So yeah, I'm going to watch it before I go to sleep. Or what, the news. Oh my God, watch the news.
Right, oh right. No, no, sleep. That's even worse. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doom
exactly.
And gloom.
It's like, well, why not? Right. Exactly. No, you want to maintain a high vibration.
Okay.
Very high vibration.
Let me rephrase that. What happens is when you tune out from that, and like the news, some people, that's their daily drip. What is that? When I'm saying daily drip, it's like, well, I don't know what's going on. I won't know. You have every single thing we do is programming. Every single thing we attach, we tune into, that we come across, that we run into is programming. And at any point in time, you can turn off the program or change the channel. And that's what you do, Christy, when you do that hypnosis, because it's taking people out of the lockstep, out of that right now concrete, this is all I can see. Okay, then you, with the hypnosis, whatever form you happen to use, says, let's take a break from that and let's see what else is available. What else do you have in your toolbox, your arsenal? And that's why I think this is so powerful, so effective, and I'm glad you're doing it.
Thank you. Yeah, I think it is very powerful too. I think one of the biggest benefits is you see that you are truly limitless. You see, when you see yourself in other lifetimes and between dimensions on other planets, whatever you're doing, and I've seen some crazy stuff, Wendy. But when you see what your potential is and you see that there really are no limitations, all the limitations are in your own mind. You know, people say, well, yes, but what about this? What about this? Well, you are a limitless being. You know, yes, you're going through illness. You're going through a difficult time right now. And there's no denying that. But what are you taking from it? What are you learning from it? What are you allowing it to do in terms of education and growth rather than, you know, are you going to a victim mentality?
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
And there are people who've been victimized, people who've been victimized in so many ways. And yet they come through it and say, that isn't me. I don't own that. That's a circumstance. That's an extra, you know, an extra appendage or an extra accessory. And it isn't mine. So I work through that. Yeah. Other people own it and say, oh yeah, that's me. And then you lose your power. So those are choices at any point in time to say, what am I owning? How am I going through this? And what do I choose not to claim as my identity? And that is powerful. That's how you can liberate and raise your frequency, your vibration, to be above whatever is in your external circumstance. Everything is temporary. It's like water. We're flowing through it and we choose what we will carry with us and what we will jettison. And that's, I think, with looking at the overview as you offer it, people can say, wow, I was really powerful in that lifetime. I have talents and attributes that I didn't realize are part of who I am and what I can bring through.
Yeah. I just had a guest on my podcast the other day, and the episode's going to be out in a few weeks, but he was going about his life, accumulating a lot of money. He was partying a lot and, you know, had this boat and like rented boats or whatever. And, then when it did a past life regression, like QHHT, and found three lifetimes where he was a healer, he sold his business. He moved from France to the United States, even though he like knew a handful of English, enrolled in chiropractic college. So he completely checked everything and his family said, you are crazy. But now he's he can't turn back. You know, he's a wonderful healer in this lifetime. Dr. Alan Salas, he'll be out on the Radiate Wellness podcast soon.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Okay. Sure. Well, and that's when you said, and the family said he's crazy. Okay. Now remember, your family is always going to be a checkpoint and you don't have to own their attachment to you and their expectation that you're going to be the same person they knew. You can deviate and it's okay. And they'll get used to it or not. But that's part of why you're where you are, because your family's going to say, are you really sure? We think you're nuts. But, you know, if you're really sure, then you're going to be nuts and we're just going to have to get over it.
And how can I support you in it?
Oh, right. Well, sometimes that's the support happens and sometimes they just say, we don't know who you are. But that's the point.
Right.
It's how you own that and integrate that to, it's okay for them to be who they are. And if they can't accept it, that's their deal. That's okay. And you go forward.
Absolutely. And you have to be okay with that. I mean, this really kind of happened in my family as well. You know, my family, part of them are very right-wing, very evangelical, which I totally respect. That's a path, just like my path. And they're learning from it, and I'm learning from mine, and they just don't get what I do. And I just have to be in a place where that's fine. As long as they're not trying to change me or alter in any way what I'm offering and what I'm doing, then that is fine. So I just need to come to peace with that. If they don't have peace with it, that is on them. I have it's like no skin in their game, right? So I'm in my game. So, and I think that it's important to acknowledge that we all have stories, and that's the real power of learning what your past lives have been and your other experiences, that it's another story. Sometimes we get so involved in the story we're telling in our current lifetime. I have disease. I am in pain. Like, well, no, my body has disease right now. I'm trying to figure it out. I have pain today, but you know, maybe later I won't have pain. So not attaching to the story. And when we see that we've had other stories in what I call a meat suit, you know, a meat suit is the body that we're lugging around. Yeah. So, right. So our meat suit's been in other stories, in other matrixes. And so we can look at that and say, okay, I've done this before and I've come through it, or I've not come through it. I learned a lot. So, you know, I have people who in this lifetime, there's a lot of traumas, a lot of unhappiness. They will go to a lifetime that their subconscious has chosen to show them out of all of the lifetimes they've had. Their subconsciousness tries to show them that, no, you've been happy before. This is not out of your reach. So they'll show them a very happy lifetime, very contented and full of gifts. And they say, oh, okay, they can relax. It's like, all right, I've been happy before. And I can, you know, it's like that pressure's off, you know,
that's like a little energy piece that once you connect to that, it's there and it's recharged. I wanted to get to the pets because you also do Reiki work and you do pet communication. And that's also huge.
Yes.
Our pet connections.
Huge. In fact, today I'm at Dogtopia, which is in Southern Overland Park, and they've got this event called Holla Dog Mart. And so all these vendors and everything. And so Kathy Lesmeister and myself from Radiate Wellness, we're here. We've got a table trying to keep it from blowing away today. And we've got information I'm going to be doing, right? It's really windy here today. It's windy and kind of threatening rain. So it's a bit challenging, but she's going to be doing animal energy work. She does Reiki as well, and Don Eaton energy work. And then I do Reiki. I'm an animal communicator. I love working with the animals. And I never worry about this. I work from a photo. So I really find that being in the presence of the animal, somehow I'm just not as able to connect with them as deeply as seeing them in a photo. I don't know how to explain it. But I never worry about this. I do this at fairs often because people always have pictures of their pets on their phone. So they'll come up and ask me, oh, you do an animal communication. Can you tell me about my dog? Sure. Do you have a picture? Like, oh, yeah, I do. I do on my phone, actually. So so I can get a lot of information that way. And then the animal communication I offer online. And so people will send me pictures of their animals. And so it's really effective. I can talk to them and find out I'll explain more about what talking to them actually entails, but find out like what they like, what they don't like, what's upsetting them, if they like the other animals in the house, if they're upset about any changes going on, what's bothering them physically, emotionally. Mm-hmm. And I can talk to them and let them know that they're safe, they're protected. This is the way it's going to be for a while. This is the intention of the people around you. So when talking with animals, it is really not communication like you and I are communicating at all. It is all extremely telepathic and it's visual. So they will just kind of show me a picture of what they're experiencing or when I'm looking in their bodies to find out if they've got an issue. In fact, right now I'm in the offices at Dogtopia in Overland Park, and they've put a little adorable French bulldog in here. And this little bulldog has got a problem with her left hip. I see that she's really holding on to some stress there energetically. So, you know, I kind of look in the body and just see what lights up and then you find out what that means from there. And then when talking to them, I'll just say, okay, so there's an elimination problem. Let me tell them where they're supposed to poop, where they're supposed to pee, how they're supposed to let you know. Right. And I just show them a picture. So you just form a picture in your mind and push it out to them. Mm-hmm. And it's really very effective. I hear from people, the behavior issues are gone. Thank you for pinpointing the metabolical issues my animal was having. I got her thyroid checked. The pooping problem has stopped. That's one of my favorite quotes.
Yes, yes.
Has stopped. Mm-hmm. In fact, I had this dog was... She was having a problem with one of her chihuahuas was eliminating inappropriately, shall we say. And this little dog said, well, but it's okay for the other one to do it. And so, so I let her know, is that right? She said, no, nobody else is doing that. Well, except I have one that's potty training and I have a little pad out and they poop on the pad. And I said, well, okay, pooping in the house is pooping in the house.
Right. Right.
So if it's okay for one, it's okay for all of them. They don't know the difference. So So a lot of it is working with the owners and the people to make things better for their pets and understand how animals think and understand how they communicate and behave. We can't expect them to have the same emotions and feelings that we do and the same logic. They don't have logic.
I was just saying, yeah, because I have a little dog who said, well, the cats are in the house. And so the dog would mark the cat box. I was like, no, or go in front of the cat box, because that's where the cats went and he couldn't get in there. So we had to figure out how to discern that, no, puppies outside, kitties inside, because kitties have a box and puppies have the outdoor box.
Exactly.
That was logic. Okay. Yes. It was just dog logic.
Dog logic. once they get it, they're like, oh, got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
So, okay. And the cats have an issue because the dogs get to go outside all the time and the cats have certain opportunities. And so, yeah. Okay. Pets are our challenge and they help us, I think, evolve in ways that we become more aware, more compassionate, and more telepathic when you learn how to tune in. Christy, we got to go, but I really, for people to connect with you, I want to promote, yes, this is legit. The quantum hypnosis technique, Dolores Cannon method, is fantastic, and it's worth a shot if you haven't tried it. What's your radiatewellnesscommunity.com?
Yeah, radiatewellnesscommunity.com. You can find out about all the services we offer. We also are on Facebook at Radiate Wellness LLC. And I have a personal business page on Facebook. It's Angels Guidance with Christy Clemens Hoffman, pretty easy to remember, on Facebook as well. So I would love to hear from anybody who wants to know more about Dolores Cannon. I'm a huge subconscious and Dolores Cannon freak, so I would love to hear from you or about any of the other things that we do. We do a lot of stuff.
Okay. And I also want to, I've got some blogs on the Wendy's Coffee House Blogspot site. And then the Audio Boom, Christy Clemens Hoffman, the July 14th, 2019. That's also a program that we recorded earlier with Wendy's Coffee House. Christy, thank you. And good luck at the dog festival.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you so much. It'll be fun if it stops raining or winding or blowing or whatever. Yes.
Hey, we'll check back in. We got more to talk about. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. And whatever you're doing, remember, those thoughts are powerful. You are creating with every breath and every thought. See ya.